Hello, welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. This past year, we've been looking at Les Fidjois, the founding mothers of Quebec, as I call them, or the king's daughters. And we've been taking each and every one of them. There are about 700 of them, so we've got a long way to go. We're on episode number 103, which I can't believe we've made it to. And before we begin, let me just make sure to let you know that I do have a website called Have Roots Will Travel, where you can find some of the all of the preceding episodes that I've done. I've got links to each of them and also some of the upcoming ones. I also have a Facebook group where I post the announcement of whatever's coming up. And feel free to subscribe and click on that notifications bell so that you get notified whenever I post new content. So with that being said, let us get started. Regular viewers to the channel know that I produced a video called Les Fidjois, the program 2.0. Have a look at that if you need to know the ins and outs of the program and how it worked. It's on the playlist. I think I have a link on my website as well. So check that out if you need some more perspective. So our Fidjois of this episode, number 103, is Marie Grandet, number one. And there is a number two, and she's coming up on the next episode. This one actually isn't a viewer request, but she is the great-grandmother of, yes, that boy next door that I grew up with. And that this is one of his great-grandmothers. So let's explore Marie Grandet, number one. So Marie was born about 1651 in the town of Orléans, which used to be part of the province of Orléanais. And her parents were Michel Grandet and Jeanne Lejeune, which by the way means Jean the Young. I like that. Now, just to give you an idea of where it's located, we have it in the the map of France. I've circled Centre-Val-de-Loire. That is where the city of Orleans is located. It's in a département, or the county of Loiret, and you can clearly see Orléans right there. So that is where she's located. The church where she would have been baptized is called L'Église Saint, let me make sure I get it right, Uvette, Saint-Uvette, which was dates back from the 9th century. Just remarkable. That statue, it's the Maid of Orleans, yes, Joan of Arc. And this is obviously a city that resonates with her. Orleans is a city. It's about 120 kilometers, about 75 miles southwest of Paris. It is the capital of this department of Loiret. And it's located on, Orleans is located on the Loire River. And it's really a heritage site because of the amount of history that is contained here. It owes its development really from the early ages to the commercialness that resulted from the river. And so it was an important river trade post. It was the headquarters for the community of merchants that frequented the Loire. It was the capital of the Kingdom of France during certain periods and played an important role in the Hundred Years' War, particularly for the role of Joan of Arc during the Siege of Orleans. Every first week of May since 1432, the city pays homage to the Maid of Orleans during the holidays, which has been listed in the inventory of sort of the heritage of France. One of the Europe's universities was created in 1306 by Pope Clement V and refounded in 1966 as the University of Orléans, hosting more than 20,000 students in 2019. The Île d'Orléans in Quebec, Canada, is named after Orléans in France, as well as Orleans, Ontario, and the former French colony, New Orleans of Louisiana. So it's a really amazing place. Again, bucket list, bucket list, bucket list. So upon her father's death, Marie embarked on the journey of La Nouvelle France. She arrived in Quebec City on July 3, 1670, with a dowry worth about £300. The groom that she selected and who selected her, well, his name was Jean Baudet, and he was born about 1650 in the town of Blanzay. His parents were Sébastien Baudet and Marie Baudonnier. Now, where he's born, it was the region of Nouvelle-Aquitaine, and he is part, it's part of the Vienne department, county. This is the church where probably he was baptized, the church at Blanzy. And this is a picture of what that rural community looks like today. Just amazingly, you know, it's everything you can imagine the French countryside to be. So now we have Jean arriving in New France. He arrived on May 25th, 1664 on the ship the Noir. And we can see him in the 1666 census as a domestic engagé. Okay, remember that they are generally signed to a three-year contract. Engagé means hired hands. They would generally have a contract that they would sign for about 3 years. And Jean was a domestic engagé. And he was listed as 18 years of age. What's interesting in the 1667 census is he is there, but he's missed. The name is wrong, because if you look at the 1666 census, Jean Malabou is 13, and then all of a sudden we have a 20-year-old, Jean, and it's the wrong last name, but I can pretty much guarantee that that is Jean Baudet instead, and they got the names mixed up. So that is where he is, you know, doing his apprenticeship, if you will, so his contract, working out his contract. Let's have a look at how and when they meet. Well, by September 23rd, 1670, Jean and Marie were married, and Marie was given the king's gift of 50 pounds as well. So let's have, and this is their marriage contract. This is obviously not what the church looked like when they got married, but it gives you a good idea. So where do they settle down? So they would first settle at Sillery. Sillery is one of the boroughs now, one of the boroughs of Quebec City, but for well over three centuries, it was its own independent city. In 2002, Sillery, along with other small cities, was amalgamated into the larger region of Quebec City. Sillery was first established as Canada's first Indian reserve. It was first named Saint Joseph, and the money for establishing the first settlement was provided by a man named Noël Brulat de Sillery. Unfortunately, the native population fell victim to disease and other issues, and the reserve failed. The town was eventually named Sillery in honor of its benefactor and would become an important player in Quebec's lumber industry. On the upper left of your screen is a picture of Sillery's riverfront. I've included a map of where Sillery is, and also on the top right, right, of how it became amalgamated within Quebec City in 2002. So now, on the bottom right is the Maison des Jesuits, or the Jesuit Sillery House of Sillery, where you can visit. A fort was created here in the mid-1600s and would have been present during their first settlement when Marie and Jean would have lived. This actual house was the one built after the fort burnt down twice and dates from 1703 to 1730 for its construction. So now the family goes to Ancienne Lorette, just a suburb of Quebec City now. But the history of L'Ancienne Lorette, which means Old Lorette, goes back to 1674 when the Jesuit priest Pierre Chaumonneau built a chapel on this site for the Hurons, who had been forced to flee their homeland, Ontario, by the Iroquois. The original church of L'Ancienne Lorette, Notre-Dame de l'Annonciation, was set up as a mission in 1698, the year following the departure of the Hurons, who had moved northwards closer to their hunting grounds. The old village center along Rue Notre-Dame is amazing in terms of its history and that sort of thing. But when Jean and Marie would have lived there, it would have been just an outpost of some kind. And so it just gives you an idea. They did not live here a long, long time, but certainly this was part of their, you know, their eventual move. Where end up? This is the question that we want to know. So they eventually would settle, this time for good, in a place called Lourbinière. And René Louis Chartier became the first seigneur on this territory when in 1672 he was granted by the King of France, with Jean Talon's assistance, this seigneurie. He named the seigneurie after one of his family's old seigneuries in France, Lourbinière. In 1693, the inhabitants built a first church, probably a small chapel, at a place called La Domaine. It was during the construction of this building that a Bishop de Sévigné, impressed by the faith and courage of these settlers, decided to elevate the Lourbinière mission to a parish in 1724. They, Jean and Marie would have been here way long before this. I want to show you the pioneers of Lourbinière. We have Pierre Lapointe La Toussignat, Michel Lemay. Many of these names are familiar to you. And we have Jean Baudet. So if this is your family history, you can be certainly proud. We have Jean Amel, Daniel de Nevers, Jean Perrusse, and Louis Auger. So I think part of discovering this area is discovering the fact that they came here when there was literally almost nothing. So that gives you a measure of Marie and Jean and what they stood for and how they achieved. And Jean Baudet at 31, he's listed here in 1681, Marie Grandet, sa femme, 30. Their children, Marie 10, Simone 8, Charles 5, Louise 5. I see I go into French. Charles is 5 years old. Louise is 2. Jeanne is 15 days old in 1681. They have one gun, one cow, and 3 arpents of valeur. So 3, about 1 acre, an acre, acre and a half of land. And this gives you an idea of Lourbinière and what it looks like today. You can see Lourbinière on the map. And this is one of the oldest properties on in the town to this day. Marie and Jean would go on to have 10 children. Marie-Louise would marry Jacques Oud and would have 9 children, all of whom would make it to adulthood. Simone Anne Elisabeth, there's a lot of names there, married Michel Pinot and had 9 children, 7 of whom made it. Jean-Charles married Marie-Madeleine Lemay and had 5 children, all of whom made it. Marie married Jacques-Alexandre de Nevers and had 2 children, both of whom made it. And then we have Louise, who married Jacques Mercotte and would have 10 children, 9 of whom would make it. We have Jeanne-Françoise dite Marie, who married Jean-Baptiste Bisson and would have 4 children, all of whom would make it. And then we have Jean-Baptiste, who married Françoise Châtel and had 10 children, 8 of whom would make it. And Michel, who married Thérèse Perrusse and had 9 children, 9 of whom, all 9, would make it. Jacques would marry Marie-Angélique Lemay, you can see these names repeated, and would have 5 children, all of whom would make it. And Marie-Madeleine finally married Nicolas Joly and would have 2 children, both of whom made it. Jean would die sometime between 1712 and 1714. We do not have a death record for him. And when I searched for Marie's information, she's actually listed not as Grandet, which is normal. There is no death. I could not find a copy of one. And she's listed Baudet, and we know that it's La Femme Baudet. And so that is what we know. And she died on the 14th of July, 1715. And that is all we know. We are assuming that they are both buried in Lourbinière, having been such pioneers in that community. Truly, truly remarkable. I love when I find a family website. This is l'Association des Familles Baudet, a fabulous website. I think it's in English and in French. I absolutely recommend that you look at this if this is your lineage, because this will tell you even more information than I could. And please consider checking that out. And here's a list of the resources I use. La Société des Filles du Roi, number one, that is a paid membership. But you can also, as a non-member, go on the website and look around and check out certain things. I used to before I became a member, and I am the membership chairperson as well, so I'd love for you to join. Number two is Quebec Genealogical E-Society, which is a recent member, you know, in terms of how long it's been around. I think it's 5 or 6 years now, but their website is growing by leaps and bounds. I urge you to encourage them and check it out. And that is also a paid website. Number three is not a paid website. It's Nos Origines. And I check it almost every day because it's just a wonderful website where they list, they are working together. It's a labor of love. So absolutely check that out. Number four, Genealogie Québec is a paid website. I could not do what I do without it. It's just that phenomenal. It is, to me, the Quebec version of Ancestry. Number five, Migration. Again, everything you ever wanted to know about Les Filles du Roi and the soldiers are on that website. It is free to use, but I would encourage you to make a donation. And then we have Facebook, Filles du Roi Descendants. Love that Facebook group. Really wonderful, very positive. Love that site. And with that, we end episode 103. Marie Grandet and Jean Baudet. What a remarkable couple to go to Sillery and then Ancienne Lorette and then be one of the pioneers at Loubignard. I really feel like they were a team, you know? And they died within a couple of years of each other. So I really honestly believe that they truly were in love and were absolutely people who really kind of knew what they wanted and kind of went after it. And just to let you know, for in 1729, when they did that, however many descendants, they had an astonishing 116 descendants. So that's amazing. So, you know, the boy next door is among many, many thousands, I'm sure, of descendants of this remarkable couple. And we join and we say thank you. And we honor their contribution and we are thankful for their presence. And with that, we leave you and I will see you on episode 104. Until then, au revoir.